name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. By now, after all of these years, you have figured out that it wasn't a mistake that we seem to be celebrating Palm Sunday today rather than the beginning of Advent. It's no mistake, for it is part of the church's long history that the events of Palm Sunday are used in the readings to mark the beginning of this church year. I've been your pastor long enough for you to have experienced this again and again and again. And why is it? Why does the church begin this way? Why does it seem that we jump to Holy Week at the start of the season of Advent, at the start of another church year? And the answer is really quite simple. Because what happens on Palm Sunday and what happens today here in the church is really what happens every Lord's Day. The Lord comes to a waiting people. A people waiting for the fulfillment of promise that God has made to his people. And you are that waiting people. Why were the Israelites waiting for this day? Because God had made them promises throughout the Old Testament. We didn't pray it today, but if we had prayed the introit, these are the words that would have been on your lips, a promise of God. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. These are words from the prophet Ezekiel, foretelling the coming of this great king. And so they were waiting with expectations for this Jesus. The gospel appointed for today tells us that they had seen the many wonders that Jesus had done. If you look at the scriptures just before the account of Palm Sunday and Holy Week, you will see that Jesus is fulfilling a promise that he had made beginning in Caesarea Philippi. Behold, the Son of Man is going up to Jerusalem. He will be betrayed into the hands of wicked men. He will suffer and die, and on the third day rise from the dead. As Jesus made this journey that lasted months towards Jerusalem, the signs and wonders that accompanied his public ministry increased. One in particular, the miracle of the raising of Lazarus, and the word had spread. The word had spread among those who continued to flock to Jesus, bringing the sick and the lame and those who needed God's acts of mercy. And so a large crowd gathered with Jesus daily as now he makes his way finally to that which he has said he would do. He comes to Jerusalem, and you know the events well. Jesus is accompanied by this group of people who are filled with great expectations as they go to Jerusalem to keep the feast, the Passover. And I think you know that there is a great connection between the Passover and the events that we as Christians celebrate as Holy Week. They are connected by the promises of God and the fulfillment that is worked by Christ. And so Jesus takes two of his disciples aside and says, go into the city in front of us, and there you will find a donkey on which no one has ever sat, and bring it to me. Not only does Jesus know that this donkey will be there, but he even tells these two disciples, if anyone says to you, Why are you taking that donkey? Simply say, the Lord has need of it. Now, those who deny the inerrancy of Scripture, and who also therefore deny the deity of Christ, say, well, you know, Jesus just prearranged all of this. He just worked it out. But this event is rather telling, isn't it? It shows to you and to these disciples that Christ truly is the Son of God. He knows all things. And as the gospel writer Luke tells it, it unfolds exactly the way Jesus says it. In fact, he even says it. It happened just as Jesus said. On this first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of the church year, perhaps it is good for each of you to pause for a moment and think about the significance of that event. Jesus knows what lies in the future. He knows there will be a donkey right where he says it will be. He knows that someone will come out to these two disciples and will ask, why are you taking the donkey? Jesus knows that when they respond, the Lord has need of it, he will let the donkey go. Jesus knows all things. Jesus knows you. And that is significant for you as you consider today that as the events of Palm Sunday mark the beginning of the church year and remind you that the Lord comes to a waiting people. What kind of people should he find waiting? And once again, the start of a new church year, the start of the season of Advent, reminds you that we really are just continuing in the church year what we have heard for the past 3 weeks at the end of the church year. That Advent is a season to be preparing for the coming of Christ in glory on the last day. It is not first and foremost or chiefly a time of getting ready for Christmas. It is a time to be prepared for that sudden and glorious appearing when he comes on the last day to judge the living and the dead. So again, the question, what kind of people should he find? And the first answer is a repentant people. A people that acknowledges that Christ knows all things. And he knows everything about every moment of your life. Now, you know yourself, and you know how often you wish to hide the truth of the sinful thoughts, the sinful words, and the sinful actions. To hide them in the recesses of your mind, or to hide them in the dark spaces of your life, or to cover them up with external deeds of works and righteousness. But while you may hide the sin in your life from your neighbors, your friends, your family, this little episode reminds you today there is nothing hidden from God. You may not wish to acknowledge the sin in your life, but that doesn't really matter, does it? Because whether what you consider sin or not matters, what matters is what God calls sin. God defines that sin by his word. And whether you would like to admit it or not, God knows that sin in your life, and by his word calls you to confess, to repent, to acknowledge, and to sorrow over it. But the same word of God that causes you to see that sin, to acknowledge and confess it, is the same word that reveals something else about you who are waiting for the Lord. You are the people for whom Christ died. He has redeemed you by his innocent suffering and death. This is why he came to Jerusalem. This is why he comes humble and lowly, riding on a donkey. The scriptures foretold that he would come to accomplish this. The Old Testament reading appointed for today concluded with these words. I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is your righteousness. For he has redeemed you by the very work he came to do there in Jerusalem. He came not to a people who were expecting his victory over Rome to drive out that oppressive power so that Israel could dwell in the glory of past days like under King David. But rather, he came to overthrow a much more powerful force. Sin, death, and especially the devil. He came to fulfill a promise that was made first to Adam and Eve, spoken to Satan himself. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and hers. He shall crush your head, and you shall strike his heel. This is what Jesus came to do. And he did it for you and for all mankind, as his journey ultimately brought him to that place where what he had told his disciples was accomplished. He will be betrayed into the hands of wicked men. He will suffer and die, and on the third day rise from the dead. So what kind of people will Christ find when he comes again in glory? A righteous people. For not only have you sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but because you are the people who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, the fulfillment of what the prophet Jeremiah declared is true. The Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is your righteousness. For what Christ accomplished for you at Calvary is yours, because you have been baptized into Christ. Sometimes it's easy to forget that. But you need not fear, for the Lord's word declares it to be true. Of this there should be no doubt. And as you consider how Jesus came to Jerusalem amidst the shouts and praises of God, do you not hear your own voice? They are words that these disciples of Jesus knew well, because they were the words of the scriptures. Hosanna! Hosanna to the King! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! They knew those words because they had worshipped with those words, praying the Psalms in the temple and in the synagogue. You know those words too, because you pray them every week. Blessed is he! Blessed is he! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest. These are the words which you pray as the Lord comes to you this day. The Lord has come to you. You've listened to his voice, just as the people listened to the voice of Jesus throughout his public ministry. And as the Lord came to Jerusalem, to a waiting people, humble and lowly, riding on a donkey, so the Lord comes to you this day. Not riding a donkey, but yet he still comes to you, humble and lowly, riding in the forms of bread and wine, and yet truly the Lord, who comes to you with his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Of this there should be no doubt, because the Lord, who knows all things, has spoken this truth to you in his word. and His word is true. How fitting it is today, then, that as this church year begins, as the season of Advent begins, we are reminded of the faithfulness of a Savior who comes to a waiting people. A people who confess their sin, their guilt, and their shame, and yet who trust in the mercy of Christ, who has redeemed them by His blood, and who continues to serve them in the lowly forms of a word that is preached, a simple baptism that brings the holiness of God and places upon the sinner the very name of God, and our Lord's body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You are a waiting people. Each day throughout the church year, every Sunday as you gather here in this place, the Lord who once came to Jerusalem will continue faithfully to come to His people, a waiting people, a people who describe themselves in the words of the prophet Jeremiah, a people redeemed in the blood of Christ, a people who truly are named the Lord is our righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.